Good afternoon, all. I want to welcome everyone to this very celebrative service. Not too often in the life of a congregation, let alone an individual, do we have the opportunity to be part of the ordination of a minister of the Word and Gospel. So it's a very good day. We're thankful to our God for that. Congregation of Jesus Christ, today we rejoice in Christ's special care and love for his church. Since we have the privilege of ordaining Nevada Levi DeLapp to the ministry of the Word and Gospel in this church, because he has accepted the call of the congregation, we will now proceed to his ordination. I ask you all to stand now for the singing of Holy God, We Praise Your Name. From its beginning, the entire New Testament church was called to proclaim the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ to the whole world. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It soon became apparent that the task committed to the church was extremely vast and complex. Therefore, the church, under the guidance of the apostles, instituted distinct ministries to ensure that the work would be done well. Those engaged in these ministries were to function with Christ's power and authority, a power and authority rooted in obedience to his word and expressed in loving service. These ministries are therefore to be distinguished from the more general ones given by Christ to all believers. The office of the minister of the word is one of those distinct ministries. The scriptures portray the minister's duties in various ways. He is a servant both of Christ and of the church. He is a steward of the household of God. He is a teacher to explain the mystery of the gospel. He is a shepherd who cares for the flock. And he is an ambassador and herald of his king, proclaiming the message of reconciliation. The preaching of the word is one of the minister's chief tasks. Such proclamation must faithfully reflect the word of God and relate it to the needs of the listeners. Paul stressed this demand when he wrote, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. And because the sacraments are closely related to the preaching of the word, the minister has the privilege of administering holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. Since the minister has the responsibility to preach the word and to administer the sacraments in public worship, it is his task to conduct the worship service in such a manner that God receives glory and the congregation is edified. When Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs," he entrusted the office bearers with special care for the young. The minister must instruct the baptized members of the congregation in the way of salvation, and he must also encourage and assist those who teach with him. As a pastor, the minister visits the members of the congregation. He calls on the sick and suffering. He comforts those who mourn. He admonishes those who stray. He counsels those in need of guidance. He holds in trust those matters confided in him in counsel or confession. And he encourages the weak. He rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weep. Yet the minister is called not only to serve those who are already members of the Church of Christ, but also to engage in and promote the work of evangelism. As a true disciple of his master, he should show that the church exists also for the world, and that the missionary task of the church forms an essential part of its calling. As a servant of Christ, the minister must help and encourage the people of God as they care for the hungry, the thirsty, the strangers, the naked, the sick, and those in prison. In all his work, the minister proclaims and explains and applies Holy Scripture in order to gather in and build up the members of the Church of Jesus Christ. For this work, the minister devotes himself to the ministry of prayer, joining all Christians in confession, intercession, thanksgiving, and praise. We now sing together God of the Prophets. We're going to stand to sing this. It's in Lift Up Your Hearts, 853, if you want to follow in the hymnal. I'll be reading from the Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. The focus will be on verses 11 through 13. Ephesians 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does it mean, he ascended, except that he also descended to the lower earthly realms? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We end our reading here at this point. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and Pastor Nevada, a seasoned pastor, and you can ask me later who that was, I can tell you, reflecting on many years of ministry in the Church of Jesus Christ, commented to me once about an elderly member of his congregation. He said he's always been very faithful in attending worship services. You could always count on him being there on Sunday. He came from a very solid Christian home, went through Christian schools. A very moral man. Everyone likes him. And he can make small talk with the best of them. I was listening and I said, well, sounds like a very pleasant person. The pastor was quiet for a moment and he said, pleasant? Yes. But I get the sense that there hasn't been any spiritual growth in him since he was a teenager. And that's really what concerns me. It's like he's in a state of spiritual delayed adolescence. That situation in that particular church and with that particular pastor is not unique. The author to the Hebrews writes to that church, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And that's not an isolated passage in Scripture. Apostle Paul, for example, writes in a similar vein to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3, the first few verses. Now, the passage that I've decided to focus on this afternoon from Ephesians, the Apostle Paul's writing to this early church, and he says, and he, that is Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, in Nevada, it's been kind of a whirlwind weekend. Actually, the last couple of months have been a whirlwind, but your examination yesterday, and those are very special times. And now today, your sermon here, the day of your ordination, and now the ordination service. But today, it is very important for you and for this congregation, for your family, for your friends, because you're being ordained as a minister of the Word and Sacraments in the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, in an official way, you take up the task which God has called you to in this place. And on this day of ordination, as you begin that work, but also throughout your ministry, it's really important for you to focus on what that calling is. And I know from my own experience, I'm sure the other pastors here can attest to it, you get very busy. All people do. It's not just pastors. And sometimes in the blur of activities, you can begin to kind of lose sight of what it's all about. What is the core of this? And to the congregation here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church in Lamars, it's special for you too. The man to whom you've extended this call to be your pastor now in an official way takes up his work among you. And it's important for you also today to reflect on his calling, but also your calling as a people of God. Not only today, but as you go forward together in serving the Lord. All of us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ are called to proclaim the good news of salvation, which is in Christ alone. And you know, we do that in what is rapidly becoming a post-Christian culture. A situation, it's really interesting when you look at it. Spirituality and talk of spirituality is everywhere. And yet we talk about a post-Christian culture. It's very in to be a spiritual person. And you hear all kinds of people attest to how important that is in their lives, how beneficial it is to them. At the same time, you hear a lot about their unique spirituality. Now, of course, this thrives in an environment when people no longer believe that there is an absolute truth. Or if there is, that it's even knowable. So people really have to chart their own course. They have to develop their own spirituality. And as you all know, we're very different personalities. And so one size doesn't fit all. Now, in that environment, there is decreasing interest in what some would call organized religion, the established church. And I heard classes yesterday, classes Heartland, talking a little bit, I think it was Rick Drogue, about, you know, why is it young people are leaving the church if there's this age of increased emphasis on spirituality? But organized religion is on the slide downward. Now, particularly, there seems to be little appreciation for a faith community that has clearly defined beliefs and has a particular lifestyle which it espouses and holds its members accountable to. And even less appreciation for those faith communities that exercise discipline of their members, holding ourselves accountable, and doing that under the authority of the Word of God, which is the ultimate authority. So we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ into a society which tells us at every turn all beliefs must be tolerated. All forms of lifestyle should be celebrated, not just tolerated. But one thing is not tolerated. Any claims of exclusive truth, even that claim which is so clear on the pages of Scripture that there is one in whom we may find salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. One who can really address the deep problem that humanity faces. We know that because it's in an authoritative revelation. That is not tolerated. But now, we are, by the grace of God, daughters and sons of the Most High. By his grace. And so each of us and all of us together as the people of God are called to embody that gospel, to live it out, but also to be bearers of the gospel, proclaimers of the gospel to the world around us. We have good news to bring, and that's why we ought not to remain silent. We have news for a world, for men, women, children who are mired in sin, that Jesus Christ sets us free. He heals the broken. He embraces those who were alienated. And he brings them into this healing community, the first fruits of the age to come. So the church is to be the body of Jesus Christ that completely is taken up into Christ's victory and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live redeemed lives in bold humility as they disciple the nations. Now, in our passage, the Apostle Paul makes clear that those called to lead in the church, those who hold that office of leadership in the church, of ministering, have the task of equipping the saints. Our NIV version says preparing them for service. Go back to the Greek and the Vatican, check that out later. Equipping. Okay. So believers are not called to be saved and then kind of wait until they're zapped away to heaven. So this is kind of an extended holding room for the real salvation that is to come. Those redeemed in the blood of the Lamb are to be made alive, to be renewed in the spirit of their minds, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And as those Jesus is making alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives should be different. We have to live out that healing of Jesus Christ and also disciple those around us. That discipling is not a task which is now handed off to the preachers and teachers among us. It's Christ's calling for every one of us here, even the ones who are now leaving our service. Okay? She generally likes her grandpa's preaching, but there are those times and she's had enough. Okay. We are to disciple, okay? And sometimes we think of a pastor doing that, but the Word of God says, no, we are all to make disciples. Now, I have gotten to know this congregation a bit. Some of you I've known from way back, others more recently. But you know, as I look out on this congregation, Calvin Christian Reformed Church here in Lamar's, and this is true of the whole body of Christ too, but it's made up of an amazing, diverse gathering of God's people. Men, women, children. You represent an astounding range of insights, talents, personalities, spiritual gifts, and dispositions. I marvel at that, the variety within congregations. But regardless of all of that diversity, the Word of God comes to each of us and says each of us is to speak the truth of God in Christ into everyday life, to speak the truth in love. Now just think about it. Who are we? This morning it was, well, who is Jesus? Okay? Who is Jesus? Something we need to think about. But who are we? Understand that through redemption in Christ, Christ presents us to the Father as those, you want to put it this way, he is proud of. He glories in. He rejoices about. Is that how you look at yourself? Is that how you look at your fellow believer in the same pew or across the aisle? What more do we need than that knowledge that in Christ we are fully embraced by the Heavenly Father as his sons and daughters? And I think we have to be more intentional about beginning every single day with that understanding, right up front and center. What else do we need? Do we need the praise, the acceptance of other humans? No, we are children of God in Jesus Christ. And as the daughters and sons of God in Jesus Christ, we're called now to grow in the faith, more and more embodying that healing power of the gospel in our lives and speaking clearly salvation in Christ to all of those around us in all areas of life. Now, on the one hand, that may kind of intimidate us. What a task! But understand that Christ did it all. We're not called to bring the kingdom. We're called to proclaim the kingdom that he has brought. We just have to be faithful witnesses and let the power of the Holy Spirit reshape us, transform us into the kind of men and women God calls us to be. So Christ ushers in the kingdom. He lives in us. He's the hero of the story, if you want to put it that way. In congregation, those around us, those in our families, those at work, those in school, in our neighborhoods, they need to hear about Jesus Christ. Now, again, you have to be really careful. It's not that now we say, we got to work extra hard. We got to work harder than we've ever worked. This is not a matter of now saying, you know, you got to double the number of programs you've got in this congregation, and then you will be serving the Lord. I think sometimes churches get kind of hung up on that. I've been in some or seen some congregations where, you know, you have to have a book for the order of worship if they want to list all the activities during the week and so forth. I think, well, if you go to half of these, you'd never be home. Okay. So it's not a matter of adding program upon program, but rather in our lives, day to day, to live out that gospel and to talk openly about that which we love most, Jesus. To naturally do that, to share that. Folks, there's only one in whom we have life. Only one who is the hope and salvation of the world. And at a time where so many people despair that there is any truth to be found, we have good news. Good news that we must bring the world. So, congregation, what should you expect of your new pastor? Be interesting to kind of pass out some empty sheets of paper and let him fill it up. Nevada, what do you understand to be the task God has given you? Well, this is not the only passage in Scripture that addresses this, but it does in a very pointed way. The Apostle Paul notes the particular ministries within the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These offices in no way diminish the gifts and callings God gives to all believers. Rather, this biblical teaching provides a proper understanding of the nature of the church and how it functions. You know, ministers are not simply officers created by the church to make things run efficiently. That's not the origin of this office. Rather, it is the gift of God, of the exalted Christ, given that God's people might be fully equipped to carry out God's mission in God's world. Within the Church of Jesus Christ, there should be none who remain in a state of spiritual delayed adolescence. You know, Peter urged believers, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul challenges followers of Christ, run in such a way as to get the prize, 1 Corinthians 9. Christ Jesus, the King of the church, has given you, Nevada, to the church in order that your gifts might be used for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And the way in which you are to use those gifts is not a mystery. It's laid out clearly in Scripture. And the church order picks up on that and summarizes it for us. But at the heart of it all, you are to equip the saints here in Lamar's to live out and to proclaim salvation in Jesus Christ, so that everyone here themselves becomes a discipler of others. To that end, faithfully, deeply, consistently open up the Scriptures for God's people week after week as you preach from this pulpit, as you did this morning, as you teach in church education, as you visit members of this congregation, as you counsel. Faithfully administer the sacraments to strengthen believers and make real their faith. Lead the congregation in joyful public worship and wholehearted praise of God. Faithfully teach young, old, and all those in between that they may be deepened in the faith. Counsel those who struggle. Console those who are battered and weary and those who mourn. Lovingly admonish those who stray. And celebrate God's goodness and blessings within the congregation. Pray for unity, the unity and well-being of God's people here, but also around the globe. And attend to your own spiritual growth and that of your family. And Nevada, exhibit humility, the humility we see in Christ. Because without that, the rest doesn't really work. Now, I've tried to think back. It's been more than 5 years since my ordination. Somewhere more than five. And I'm sure the other pastors here can think back too, but what was going through my head at that time kind of fades with the years. But I do remember some things. Am I up to this? Do I really have the gifts? Well, the church has said, no, we see those in you. Yeah, but they don't know me like I know me. Okay. Can I do this? Can I really sustain the challenges? In other words, our own weaknesses, they jump up, and the devil uses that. He uses that very effectively. But understand, all of us are weak and inadequate in and of ourselves. But with the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, and with God's people here continually lifting you up in prayer and ministering alongside of you and giving words of encouragement, loving you, supporting you, and you returning that to them, know that you will be both a blessing to them and be blessed by them. The Holy Spirit provides what you need. And when the journey is complete, may you and those to whom you minister hear the gracious words of our Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Nevada, at this time I would like to ask that you stand and respond to the questions. Brother Nevada DeLapp, in order that all God's people assembled here may witness that you, in the strength of the Lord, accept the responsibilities of this office, you are asked to answer the following questions. Do you believe that in the call of this congregation, God Himself calls you to this holy ministry? Do you believe that in the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and life? Do you subscribe to the doctrinal standards of this church, rejecting all teaching which contradicts them? And do you promise to be a faithful minister, to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of your calling, and to submit to the government and discipline of the church. Nevada, what is your answer? This time I'd ask Nevada to come forward and also the ordained ministers among us for the laying on of hands. God, our Heavenly Father, who has called you to this great and glorious office, enlighten, strengthen, and govern you by His Word and Spirit, that you may serve faithfully and fruitfully in your ministry, to the glory of His name and the coming of the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation is to remain seated for the singing of this hymn, and Nevada will be signing the covenant for office bearers up front as we sing, "Lord, speak to me that I may speak."
It is a joy to be able to be with you this afternoon, to stand in the place where God prepared me in part for ministry. And I thank you, Kelvin Church, for the way that you were used by God to prepare me for ministry. And at this time, I'm called now to give you a charge. And I do so in light of this verse from Hebrews 13, we'll have the responsive question in just a moment. This is a hard word, these two verses, or this one verse with two sentences. Hebrews 13, verse 17, hard verse. The first part of it is, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. It's a hard word, obey. When I was a young pastor, very young, I was in my 20s, and starting out in First Oskaloosa, First Christian Reformed Church in Oskaloosa, and I was only a couple years into ministry. One of the retired brothers from our church invited me along to a Kiwanis noon luncheon, which was to honor pastors. So I went along, and there was this room full of people. We met in some basement somewhere in Oskaloosa, and all of these Kiwanians had brought their pastor along, and I had no idea what was going to happen. And pretty soon, the members of the Kiwanis were standing up. They were introducing their pastors. And my, the things they would say about their pastors. I'm so-and-so, and my pastor wrote a book. I'm so-and-so, and my pastor earned a degree. I'm so-and-so, and my pastor is one of seven pastors in our church, and you should see our church because of our on and on about their pastors. And I've been in ministry maybe a couple of years. I didn't write my book. What would John Van Weelden say about me? It was our turn. I was nervous. And he stood up. He made me stand up next to him. And he said, "This is our pastor, Reverend Bob Drenton. And we love him." We sat down. I don't remember anything else anybody said. And we love him. And I never forgot. I know that you can love your pastor because we received that love when we were here. I know you have it in you. When we came, it was only a few days after Pastor Merlton Bleicher ended his ministry here, and you loved him. And you were grieving. And we came. You were still grieving. You don't remember a single sermon I preached here that summer. I don't either. But I do know what someone said to me when we left. We didn't want to like you because we were hurting, but we couldn't help it. We liked you. You have it in you to love your pastor. God calls you to love your pastor. That's what it means to obey your leader, to love him, to receive his authority as the authority of Jesus Christ, because he watches over you, Pastor Nevada will, as one who will give an account. So love him. Then the second part of this verse, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. This part is shorter. There's lots of things that you maybe wonder about what it's like to be a minister, to be a pastor. I'll share with you one thing that maybe you don't know. Your pastor probably spends more time and energy thinking about who you are as a Christian, what's going on in your life, the things that you're facing and struggling with, and even the joys that you're experiencing, spends more time and attention thinking about those things than you realize. Maybe even sometimes cares more about the things that you're facing spiritually than you do. Your pastor loves you. That is of an advantage to you. You have not hired a pastor. You've been led to call a pastor. Dr. Nevada DeLapp, forgive me. A few more years and we'll get it right. Dr. DeLapp heard the call of Jesus Christ in the call you extended to him. You have not hired him. He has answered a call. You are called to love him. He is called to love you. And together, for your advantage and for his, to be blessed by the love we all receive from God in Jesus Christ. Congregation, you're now requested to stand to make your vows. Would you please stand? Congregation of Jesus Christ, Calvin Christian Reformed Church of Lamars, Iowa, Do you, in the name of the Lord, welcome this brother as your minister and pastor? Do you promise to take to heart the word of God as he proclaims it? Do you promise to pray for him, to share with him in the work of his ministry, to encourage him in the exercise of his tasks, and to respond to his work with obedience, love, and respect? Congregation, what is your answer?
We do,
God Almighty. Let's remain standing as we sing together.
Good afternoon. It's my privilege to bring the charge to the new Reverend Dr. Nevada DeLapp. Nevada and I go back quite a few years. When I first came to First Church in Sioux Center, Iowa, he and Karen were part of the congregation, and Nevada and I enjoyed many evenings getting together and just chatting. You had a lot of free time back then. He was waiting for Karen to finish up her degree, and then after that, it was off to Calvin Seminary, where I was privileged to serve as his mentor. And one time while driving to Grand Rapids and surprising the people at Calvin Seminary that I would actually drive 11 hours to a mentor's meeting, they made a comment to me at that time, Nevada. They're like, wow, you were very honest in your evaluation. And I had said that I believed Calvin Seminary was ripping Nevada off. I said, this guy's smart. He needs to work harder. All you're having him do is play cards at a homeless shelter. He needs to preach. He needs to be visiting people. They had never quite received an evaluation that said that before, and I understand that your subsequent internship was a little more rigorous. Calvin Church, you're receiving a talented and gifted minister of the word. I'm excited for you. I hope that his passion, his intellect, his love for God and for God's people will come through, and that not only will it be known within the walls of this building, but throughout the community of Lamar's as well. Nevada, I'd invite you to stand as I read this charge to you. Dear brother and fellow servant of Christ, we rejoice with you on this day that after years of preparation, you have been ordained into the ministry of the word. May you experience much joy and fulfilling in your calling. As you exercise the authority of the office entrusted to you, may you always remain a humble servant. Look faithfully after the whole flock, the young and the old, the faithful and the unfaithful, the healthy and the sick, the strong. I'm sorry, I should have known where the next page would go. The weak, and rejoice with those who rejoice and suffer with those who suffer. Use all your talents to the utmost of your ability. And do not neglect any of your gifts. And one day our chief shepherd will give you the crown of glory, saying, well done, good. I got it. It's back on. And to you, dear fellow Christians, congratulations also. This is truly the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Keep your vows. Receive your minister as a gift of God. Listen to him with all the respect due his office. Encourage him when he needs strength and pray for him daily. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. May you, as pastor and congregation, live as the bride longing for the coming of our heavenly bridegroom, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Let us now give thanks and ask the Lord to help us do what we have promised. Let's all stand now for the prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that on this day you have given us many blessings. We thank you for your church, elect from every nation, yet one over all the earth. Thank you for giving your church the task of calling others to your saving grace in Jesus Christ and to the fellowship of the covenant community. Today we thank you in particular for giving the church the special office of the minister of the word, and we rejoice that as a congregation we have received a new pastor to work among us. We pray, Lord, that you will bless Nevada as a servant of Christ and the church. Help him to be inspired, an inspired ambassador for his king, bringing a message of salvation and reconciliation to all. Bless him as a preacher and a teacher, as a pastor and a counselor. May he prove himself a faithful steward in the household of God. Enable us as a congregation to listen gladly and attentively to him, recognizing in his words the voice of the Good Shepherd. Strengthen us all in the work of the ministry so that we may be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Help us, congregation and pastor, to endure the heat of the day and the darkness of the night, sustained by your healing and guidance and presence. All this we ask with thankful hearts in the name of your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we will remain standing for the singing of verses 1 and 2 of the hymn, "Here I Am, Lord."
Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. In God's people's name.